Amen.
Okay, thank you. So we're starting a new series today. So during February, we had a series which was bringing God to the center. So regardless of whether doing the series or not, God is still at the center, right? He's at the center. Our job is to kind of orbit around him, to find our way around him. Now, I want to start today by looking at a movie, a photo from a movie. I wonder if anyone recognizes, not that movie, this movie. Anyone recognize that, guys? This is a pretty popular movie. I think it was a good movie. Colin Firth plays Prince Albert, later to become King George VI. What's the movie? King's Speech. Okay. So this picture kind of sums up the movie. You see him there, he's facing up to the microphone. So he has to give a speech. And the problem is all his life he's stuttered. Right from young, he was not able to articulate words well. He's born into the royal family. Thankfully, he's got an older brother, so he doesn't have to do all the work. But he's in this place where he regularly has to speak publicly, and it's a struggle for him. Really hard. Stutters quite badly. Every time he speaks, it's like just such a difficult thing. Oftentimes, it ends in disaster. He feels terrible about the situation. And I think there's something about that most of us can relate to. There are things that we have to do that we don't feel adequate for. We feel like we've got something to do and I don't feel confident to do that. A job to do, but inadequately equipped. For Bertie, he's got this stutter and yet he has to speak publicly. It's a difficult circumstance. And I wonder, in our lives, we have to get a job. We have to run a home. We have to raise a family. We'd be a parent. Deal with conflict. Face up to things in society. We have things to do, and sometimes we're not feeling equipped. We're not feeling confident to do those things, just like Bertie. We have duties to perform, and we feel challenged as we perform those duties. We don't feel completely up to it. We're not kind of mastering it yet. We're still not there. And so we've got to face these things with a sense of inadequacy. I wonder, can you relate to that? Some area of your life where you've got feel like you've got a duty to perform, and yet you've got a struggle. It doesn't feel like you're equipped for the task. We're going to come back to that movie, but I want to spend some time talking about the life of Moses, because it's going to connect. I want to talk about the type of interactions Moses had with God. So this is Moses from the Old Testament, who leads Israel out of Egypt. So I'm going to go to Exodus 34 and have a listen to the type of relationship that Moses has with God. So it's chapter 34. Moses entered the Lord's presence to speak with him. That's God. He removed the veil until he came out. And when he came out, he told the Israelites what he'd been commanded. They saw that his face was radiant. Then Moses put the veil back over his face until he went in again to speak to the Lord. So this gives you a sense of the special relationship that Moses has with God. He goes into the tent to be with God, speak to God. And when he comes out of the tent, his face is glowing. I don't know what it's like when you go into your prayer time or something like that. Do you come out like that? That's what happened for Moses. His face is glowing. He puts a veil over it so that people won't get scared. Actually, the New Testament tells us it's actually because as soon as he came out, it started fading. He didn't want people to know it was fading. But anyway, he comes out and it's glowing. Pretty cool. After a prayer time, face starts to glow. Back to Exodus 33, previous chapter, similar thing. Verse 7, Moses used to take a tent and pitch it outside the camp some distance away, calling it the tent of meeting. Anyone inquiring of the Lord would go to the tent of meeting outside the camp. And whenever Moses went out to the tent, think about this. All the people rose and stood at the entrance to their tents, watching Moses until he entered the tent. So everybody in the nation recognizes that Moses has got this special relationship with God. As soon as he goes in, everybody gets up and says, Moses is going to the tent. He's going to meet with God. This is a special moment. He's going to speak directly with God. So next slide. This is now Moses went into the tent. And a pillar of cloud would come down and stay at the entrance while the Lord spoke with Moses. Pretty impressive, isn't it? What's happening when Moses goes in to talk with God? Whenever the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the entrance to the tent, they all stood and worshipped, each at the entrance of their tent. So not only is Moses going in, comes out with a radiant face, there's a pillar of cloud appears near the tent when Moses goes in. And in verse 11, the Lord would speak to Moses face to face as one speaks to a friend. This is in contrast to all the other prophets. It says all the other prophets, God speaks in visions or dreams or some other way. Just Moses, only Moses says he speaks face to face with God. Glowing face, pillar of cloud, people standing, speaking with God face to face as a friend. That's a pretty amazing relationship with God. Imagine that happened in your time of prayer. You would go in to be with God wherever that happened. You'd get the Bible out. Face glows, cloud comes down, everybody stands there, wow, so-and-so, they're in with God. That's pretty impressive. It's telling us that Moses has the closest relationship to God with anyone in history. Obviously, Jesus is different, but in terms of everyone else, Moses has this relationship with God. Nobody else is like that. He's different. That's the picture we get. But the author's now going to tell us something about Moses, which I think is surprising, given he's got this relationship with God. But Moses doesn't spend all his time in the tent with God. He has to do other things. He's got like a million people he's got to look after in the nation. Let's see what he does at other times when he's not in the tent with God. So this is Exodus chapter 18. The next day, Moses took his seat to serve as judge for all the people, and they stood around him from morning till evening. So when Moses is not in the tent, he's out judging the people. So he takes his seat, all the people gather, and they're around him from morning till evening. I don't know what your job is like, but that sounds like a tough job. That's a long hours, difficult circumstance. Some of us might, you know, in a family, we might be dealing with a lot of people, big family. Some of us at work might deal with a lot of people. Generally, the more people you deal with, the more responsibility and the more stress, the more it taxes you. So Moses is here with a million people all day from morning till night trying to be the judge. He's trying to sort out all the cases, decide what's right in every case. He's the one that's interpreting God's rules and regulations for them. That's his life. Outside the tent, he's out there with the people. And you get the feeling he's exhausted. He's absolutely exhausted because he's got this constant load of people coming to him to find out what is the will of God. He's exhausted, and I think the people are frustrated because they can't get their cases heard. You know, how long does it take to get a case heard in our society? One guy with a million people, I think the court queue is pretty long. Okay, so then Moses gets a visit from someone. He gets a visit from his father-in-law. You got to love the father-in-law, right? In my family, my father-in-law, he has perfect lawns. Like he does everything right, you know. He sees my lawn, and you know, you're not quite up to the standard of the lawn, right? And this is pretty much what happens for Moses. Father-in-law comes round, and Moses is struggling to do his job. He's exhausted, trying really hard. Father-in-law Jethro comes along, and he says, "Moses, what are you doing?" So here's the scripture. So this is verse 14. When his father-in-law saw all that Moses was doing for the people, he said, "What is this you're doing for the people? Why do you sit alone as judge while all these people sit around you from morning till evening?" Now the context, a million people wanting him to make decisions for them. He's doing all the work himself. He's the only judge. He interprets the law for everyone. He's exhausted. He's overworked. And maybe Zipporah, because Zipporah is Moses' wife, maybe she's had a word to her father and said, "Look, talk to Moses. Something's going wrong here. It's not working. He's got a crazy work schedule." So Jethro comes and says, "Moses, what are you doing? What is this that you're doing for all these people? Why are you doing it alone?" Jethro then speaks his mind. He's going to say what he thinks. So verse 17. This next one. What you're doing is not good. You and these people who come to you will only wear yourselves out. The work is too heavy for you. You cannot handle it alone. Listen to me. Listen now to me, and I'll give you some advice. Now, in Hebrew, when it says, "Moses, this is not good," two words, "not good Moses." Literally, "Moses, this is not good." So here's the advice that Jethro is going to give. You can't do it alone. And essentially, we're not going to read this part, but essentially he downloads a management course. He says, you've got to delegate. You've got to find others who are going to share the load, appoint some people to take the other roles, give them some power, put them over 50s and 100s. Moses, delegate the responsibility. You don't have to do it all yourself. Moses does that later on. It says, you're only going to wear yourself out and the people aren't going to be satisfied. Give delegation, Moses. Jethro is like the first leadership consultant. Everything's going to work out well. So clearly in this whole situation, Moses has a blockage in his leadership. He can't see what he can't see. He doesn't know that he's got a problem. He's just trying his best in this place with a million people. Jethro comes along, identifies the problem, gives the solution, and later we see it works out really well. It all works. Everyone, including Moses, turns out much happier. I think probably Zipporah as well. Jethro gives him good advice. Now, there's something profound going on. I'm going to put the question why up there. I want to ask a why question. Here's Moses. He's got the closest relationship to God of anyone in history. He's speaking to God face to face. The pillar of cloud comes down when he goes in there. Everybody knows that he's speaking to God. They're all standing at their tents when he goes in. In fact, when he's in there, he's writing scripture. God is telling him, this is what Deuteronomy is. He's going to tell him to write scripture. So Moses comes out with the law from this position. It's an amazing and a privileged relationship and a position that Moses has before the people. And yet, in the face-to-face interaction, there seems to be a lot of time that's there. God does not speak to Moses about his leadership problems. You find that amazing. God has face-to-face connection. God is the best communicator in the universe, knows everything about the situation, and yet he doesn't say anything to Moses about leadership. A million people are frustrated. Moses is not doing a good job. God says nothing face to face. God could have fixed the problem. Moses, delegate. But he doesn't do it. Why is that? Why doesn't God tell Moses directly? God could have immediately solved the problem. And I think the answer to this question actually reveals something really important about our spiritual journey, really important about our spiritual journey, about anyone who wants to live a life of faith. The answer to this question is really significant. Why doesn't God do it directly? Because he wants to use somebody else to do it for him. He wants to use Jethro. He wants to send someone to say to someone what to say to Moses what God would say, but he doesn't say it. He says it through someone else. It's Jethro that points out the problems with Moses' leadership. It's Jethro that tells him to delegate. It's Jethro's advice that fixes the problem. Why does God send Jethro rather than speaking directly himself? Okay, if you've seen the movie The King's Speech, you'll be familiar with this person. So we'll go to the next one. This is over there, I think. That's Geoffrey Rush, right? The actor who plays a guy called Lionel Logue. That's the real Lionel Logue on the other side. He's a speech pathologist. He's an Australian, so he's a bit rough around the edges, right? But he's had some unorthodox success. People have come back from the war, and he's been able to help them with their speech and psychological problems, even though he's not qualified, but he's had success. The movie goes on to tell the story of how Bertie, Colin Firth, who eventually becomes the king, his wife, who we would know as the Queen Mother, even though she's passed away, that she wants to help her husband with his speech problems. So she goes to all sorts of therapists, psychologists, trying to find someone to help him with this stuttering problem. They go to all sorts of techniques and therapies, but none of them work until they meet Lionel Logue, until they meet this strange Australian guy. So Bertie starts working with Lionel Logue. Unusual methods, but he starts to get results. Things begin to improve. He does a few minor speeches and he does them well. Lionel's efforts for Bertie are paying off. Still painful, but it's getting better. And then the movie takes a turn. It turns out that Bertie's older brother abdicates. He's made king, and he says, I don't want to be the king. because he marries Mrs. Simpson, who's a divorcee, and so he can't be the king anymore, so he abdicates. That means that Bertie, with all his struggles, is suddenly the king of England, the thing he didn't want to be. Not only does he have to do the work of the Duke of York, but all of a sudden, he's in the top position. To make matters worse, Hitler is on the rampage in Europe. The whole British Empire, which at that stage is a quarter of the world's population, is looking to the king for an inspired message. They're looking to the king to speak to them. So here he is, Bertie, now King George VI, facing the biggest challenge of his life. He has to speak to the whole British Empire in wartime, trying to rally the troops so that they can fight against the evils that are happening in Europe. Everyone's looking to him. And all his life, he struggled with giving speeches, with speaking. All his life, he stuttered. This is his worst nightmare. This is the thing he probably never wanted to happen. Now, you've probably read this verse. Let's put the second one up. Read this verse in Ephesians. It says, God has prepared in advance good works for us to walk in. Do you believe that? Do you believe there are good works that God has prepared for your life? He wants you to walk in good works. I think each of us has different works, but I think God has a plan for each of us that there are things in this life he wants us to contribute in. Now, I've heard all sorts of things said about this verse. If God calls you, don't worry, you'll have everything you need. It'll be easy. Don't worry, God never gives you a job you're not equipped to handle. In my experience, I just don't find that to be true. In fact, I think God gives us jobs we can't handle so that we have to trust him. He gives us good works. Most of the time, I think most of us feel unequipped. We don't feel like we're ready to do this thing. If you wait until you get a job that you're ready for, chances are that's not God, that's just your vision, because it's what you think you can handle. If it's God, it's going to be bigger than you think you can handle, or more difficult than you can think you can handle. Does that resonate with anyone? Anyone ever found that when God puts something on your plate, you think, I can't do that. I'm not ready for that. God's calling can be quite difficult, quite challenging, something you feel inadequate for. That's certainly my experience, and I suggest probably most of us have had that at some time. Certainly it's the case for Bertie. A lifelong stutterer becomes the King of England and has to speak to hundreds of millions of people. How do you resolve this tension? How can he fulfill his royal duty? And for us, how do we fulfill our royal duty, the good works that God has prepared for us? How are we going to do that when we're not completely ready, when we're not absolutely up to the case, when we're struggling to get there? The movie shows us how the situation resolves. So let's put the next one up. Bertie finds someone to help him. Someone equip him. He's got to face up to the microphone, even though he's got a stutter. He can't do it himself, so somebody else comes alongside him and helps him. He starts working with Lionel. It's hard work. It's exhausting. And you know what? For the rest of his life, he never does a major speech without Bertie being present. He comes alongside him and he stays with him. It enables him to do what God has called him to do. Bertie had a royal duty, but he couldn't do it alone. He had to have someone help him. God didn't step in and take away his stutter. I imagine they prayed for that. I imagine lots of people had prayed, God save the king and stop him from stuttering. I imagine they said that lots in the British Empire. And I think often we prefer that. God, take away my weaknesses and then I'll be able to serve you. But often that's not how God does it. Just like God chooses Jethro to help Moses, God chooses Lionel to help Bertie. He may not give us all we need. I know some people think this is kind of heretical, isn't it? Jesus, you're all I need. Jesus, you're all I need. But what does Jesus say? He says, actually, I'm not all you need. You need that person there as well. That's what Jesus will say. I'm not saying Jesus doesn't give us all that we need for salvation. But in terms of doing the will of God, if we're going to do this, do the good works that God has prepared for us, that's not going to come just from Jesus. You're going to need other people to help you on that journey. We've already had the verse today. It says, spur one another on to love and good deeds. We need one another if we're going to complete the task that God gives us. Lionel Logue comes alongside him, helps him with his stutter. It doesn't get taken away, but he gets support. He's able to do it, even though it's still a struggle. So his encouragement, his support enables Bertie to do the thing that God had called him to. His royal duty, the good works that he had prepared, that God had done for him. Now, I think following Jesus is quite challenging because there are certain things he calls us to do. And we're not always feeling prepared, be ready to do those things. Now, whatever your situation is, I think maybe these things are true for you. Firstly, you have times when you feel that you're inadequately equipped to do what God calls you to do. You don't have the gifts, you don't have the resources, you've got something holding you back, that's how you feel. I think most of us at some point would feel like that. Secondly, you've probably prayed and asked God to take away the problem or help you with the difficulty, help you in the weakness, strengthen you in some way. And he hasn't. And you've still got the issue. Or you've still got it to some extent, even if you've had some progress. Which leaves us all in one way or another in the same situation that Bertie's in. There's a job to do. It's from God. But I'm inadequate to do it. I feel inadequate. I can't do it in my own strength. I'm frustrated. God has not taken away from me the problem. He's not taken away the stutter. He's not taken away the weakness that I have. And there doesn't seem any other solution. And as with Moses, God doesn't fix the problem directly. I suspect in most cases, now sometimes God fixes the problem. Praise God. But he doesn't always fix the problem directly. And I think the story of the King's Speech tells us a way that God has ordained to overcome these struggles and enable us to do the things he calls us to do. And it's not always by fixing our problems, and it's not always from heaven straight to us. Now, some of us might have amazing stories where God has done amazing things. Bring it on. The more the merrier. But many times it doesn't happen like that. You don't have a miracle. You don't have something change in your life that just switches so you can actually do what God calls you to do. Even Moses didn't have that. He was face to face with God. And yet God uses Jethro. I think we see this all through the Bible. Not only does God speak to people directly, which he does, but he also uses other people to come alongside, to encourage, to correct, to train, to support. And I think that carries over to today. I think the same reality is true. I'm all for getting direct help from God. By all means, pray for it and I'll pray for you. Let's get some direct help from God. But maybe most of the time, or at least often, he doesn't do it directly. He's going to use someone else. They're going to come into our life. They're going to speak into our life. They're going to challenge us. They're going to support us. They're going to give us something that we need in order to get God's work done. So in our series this month, Walking Together, we're going to highlight the significance of doing the journey with others, not alone. You know, we live in a society, we are hyper-individualistic in Western culture. It's all about me and how I get things done. That's really not in the Bible. There's something about individualism in the Bible. Yes, we need to have a personal relationship with God. But as we said in worship today, it's not just me and God. There's us. And that's very significant. Especially if we want to do the good works that God has called us to do. I think you can be a Christian and you can have a relationship with God and that's just you and God. That's fine. But I don't think you're going to get to the completion of the good works that God's called you to do without having people walking with you. It depends where you want to go with this. How far do you want to go? Jesus is not all we need. He says you need other people. So if you want to have a go at serving God in this life, you've got to have other people on your team. You've got to be vulnerable. You've got to connect. You've got to be part of a partnership, a team. Doesn't matter how deep your prayer life, having a deep prayer life like Moses doesn't take away the need for other people to be into your life, speaking in your life. We do have the privilege in Jesus of a direct relationship with God. We have this face-to-face with him. We had better than Moses. We have the presence of God within us by the Holy Spirit. We have more than Moses had. But he's still not going to give us all we need that way. He'll point us to others. He'll put people in our path. He'll call us to be part of a body, a connect group, a mentoring relationship. All of these things are part of how God uses. He might even use your in-laws. Who knows? So this series is all about encouraging us to take what I think is the biblical journey of connecting with others, of walking together. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that in Christ, as we've celebrated in communion, we have a face-to-face. We have a direct relationship. You've opened the way. We are forgiven. We are free. The presence of God has been restored to our lives, and we thank you for that. But Lord, I pray, stir up in us those good works. Lord, give us those visions, direction and clarity. Lord, show us what it is you want us to do in this life. How are we to contribute to this world? What impact are we meant to make? And I pray, as we think about that, Lord, I pray you'd open us up to the voice of others, to the encouragement of our friends and family, to the correction where necessary, Lord, if we're off track. Lord, build around us communities. Help us be vulnerable to share ourselves in those communities. You've designed the Christian life this way. We don't live it alone. Speak to us, Lord. Guide us. Not just directly, although we're thankful for that. Help us receive also through other people. Guide us and lead us as we seek to walk together the journey that you have given us, that Jesus has gone before us. We want to follow in his footsteps, and we want to walk together with others. Lead us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.